episode 57 of Beyond Retro. I had to look down because I couldn't remember what episode it was. I'm Nathan Kennedy, joined by Mr. Amato and Mr. Baker. Gentlemen, Halloween is fast approaching. We're in our final week of Halloween month, and this is going to be some interesting conversation because we're going to be talking about Rawhead Rex, because I want to do that one first.
Okay.
And kind of just get it out of the way. And then we'll talk about a classic, in my opinion, one that I usually tend to watch every Halloween season in Pumpkinhead. But guys, how's it going?
Fantastic. I was going to pass it to Tyler. I didn't know if he would say something first, but go ahead.
I got nothing to say.
Tyler, did you watch Rawhead Rex last night?
Oh, God.
Did you say he did or did not? I said he did.
Yes.
Did you watch the whole thing? That's what I'm curious about, honestly, because if you shut it off too soon, I feel like there towards the end, you missed a lot of interesting things.
I made it all the way, I think, to the last 10 minutes. And okay. I said, that does it, man. It was one of those things I'm like, you know, I'm going to watch this and give it a fair shot. And as I'm watching, I'm thinking, now, Joe claims to be such a horror enthusiast. And he loves classic horror movies and slasher films and gore fests and stuff. And it makes me question, like, Joe liked this at any point? Even for a schlocky B movie.
Well, it's the thing back then.
All I could think of was like, why can't Mike Nelson, Crow, and Tom Servo be sitting here with me? Because this will be a gold mine of just shredding this film to pieces with.
Well, this, of course, it comes from the mind of Clive Barker. So this even predates his Hellraiser. But you can tell
the
this
year
guy
before
is...
Hellraiser, yeah. though. And I'm thinking, how is it that guy, the same Clive Barker, came up with this?
Well, to be fair, he is like extremely ashamed of it.
He shows his mind. He's always had these things for these kind of twisted demons from hell, as you can see from that, and then Hellraiser and stuff. And, of course, this was something, I don't know if it was shot in Ireland. I actually didn't know if it was shot in Ireland or where, but I know it wasn't in the United States, so it wasn't something that really was even known much for people beyond when I told you I went to Ben's Tropical Fish for rentals, and I always looked for things that caught my eye in this just nasty, gross-looking box art. And, of course, I'm always a sucker for horror.
It probably got dumped in their you know, backdoor dumpster or something like that, and they just threw it on the shelf, and you're the only guy that rented it.
Well, no. I mean, it got rented, and I was always pissed when I'd go there, and there was missing the VHS thing in back of it because I would obsessively want to go up and get it and then get something else. And a month or two later, I want to get Rawhead Rex again. I had, like, a thing for those weird creatures and gross-looking stuff. I mean, obviously, later came Pumpkinhead, but, I mean, you think of the Toxic Avenger. That has a cult following, and, you know, it's kind of gross, but he's a superhero. But this one I just remember it freaked me out. And sure, the effects definitely, like, of the outfit, I mean, just, you could say, looks so damn phony at times. But he still was a freaky fucker. He was this big thing, and they had gross parts with blood and squirting. And just, and the one part that cracked me up was the part where he's running at... He ran up on somebody when they're all in the trailer. Remember when there was that whole insanity where everybody could see Rawhead Rex? And he ran, and you see the, like, the head is, like, looking up. It looks so fucking stupid, but I liked it. It was cheesy, corny, fun, and I think that, yes, if anybody was to look at it now, it definitely looks like, God, this is something that aged horribly. Unlike Pumpkinhead, which has aged beautifully, you could still look at Pumpkinhead now and say, that is a gross, scary fucking movie, even for today's standards. But Rawhead Rex? No, if you were to look at it now, you're like, God, it looks so shitty, cheesy. I mean, it's almost like, I honestly believe, you'd have to have grown up watching it with, you know, like when you were younger, like me, to see it when it was first out to kind of enjoy it. But if you were just to watch it, like how Tyler, you said it's your first time seeing it, and Nathan, I knew when you guys were going to watch it, I was like, oh, they're going to just say this is so fucking stupid. It looks horrible. And
All right. Here's the thing. This was indeed my first time watching it. I own it on Blu-ray. I bought it on Blu-ray.
Did you get the money back?
Because I was just like, oh, whatever, fuck
it. Mail it to Joe. Just get rid of it.
Anyway.
I'd actually take it. It would if you get rid of it, but don't go ahead.
No.
There you go. The only thing Joe would take is a copy of Rawhead Rex on Blu-ray that he didn't pay for. Now, that's demonic, people.
Go ahead.
So, here's my, because I know by saying let's get it out of the way, it kind of gives
you
the opinion.
Yeah, I was like, all right, thank you, Nathan.
No, it kind of gives you the opinion that I outright thought it was trash, but I didn't outright think it was trash. I thought that, honestly, like, that first hour is just really, really boring. Like, it's just, it trudges along. It's just really fucking boring, right? Almost to a point where I kind of, like, I dozed for about 10 minutes. And then when I came to, you know, there's some more dialogue, and then it reaches the scene where Rawhead Rex pulls the boy out of the car.
Yeah, was that freaking reading Secret Wars? See what happens when you read Secret Wars?
Yeah, I was like, you know what, can I just read the comic book instead? I mean, it's Secret Wars too. It's not the first, but I would much rather be reading that than watching this movie.
Yeah,
but after that, I'm like, all right, I'm invested. And then it's just, it's just balls fucking crazy from there. Like, you know, the priest is gone mad because basically the story of this is Rawhead Rex is this long lost demon that just sort of basically gets dug up accidentally by this other guy. And it just kind of goes from there. There's what is it? That guy's what, a historian? Our main character? What's his?
Yeah, the one who's trying to find out all the history. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, see, this is when I was kind of like fading in and out a little bit.
Sure, sure. A lady man who's got the most powerful sweater I've ever seen in a live action film. I mean, it's it's just like when the guy's talking, you're like, you know, that cardigan doesn't lie. You know, it's just the guy has such charisma and presence with that sweater.
Anyway, he's there with his family, and at this point, his son gets taken away and eaten, and that's when he's just like, vengeance, we got to destroy this thing. And God, man, honestly, my favorite part of the whole thing is when that one priest is just like evil, and he's like, yes, Rawhead Rex and everything, and then he gets down on his knees, and Rawhead Rex is right
vomits
in front of
blood
him
on his face, like, oh yeah.
And then and then he opens up his shirt, and then Rawhead Rex baptizes him in his piss. That's my favorite part of the film.
It's, you know, I gotta give it to anytime when I did see something back then, when a kid would get killed, whether you've seen it happening or they usually avoided it, you know, they just, you'd hear sound effects. It was always pretty ballsy and freaky to me to think, okay, this creature has no limits. You know, sometimes you can see a horror character and he's not killing a kid. You'd almost somehow still feel safe. Like, you know, I never see Jason kill kids. So I, in my head, that's how I used to mentally think. Jason wouldn't kill me, you know, and I felt safe from Jason. But something like Rawhead Rex, just knowing he pulled that little shit out of the car and then you just heard the sounds and the gurgling, you know, oh God, he just fucking ate and chewed up and killed that kid. It kind of freaks you out. So, I mean, I guess that's the thing that immediately would get my attention. And it has the classic people that, you know, of course you want to see get killed. Any of the young dipshit kids and like the dumb little fucker that's in his little trailer with his brother and his girlfriend. And you can tell that they're all annoying. But when the brother and his girlfriend left that trailer and shut the door, I was like, and the kid couldn't get out, I was like, what are you talking about? It's not like you're locked inside and he's sitting there struggling with that lock. I used to hate that fucking part. I was like, just get the fuck out. But of course, Rawhead Rex might have probably killed him anyways. But and then when everybody could see the monster is always another surprise, because usually somebody doesn't see him, or it's one at a time, or maybe two in one. But he's there with the whole fucking, you know, trailer park trash, if you will. Just, that's not an insult to trailer park people. I'm just saying, you know what I mean?
It's, seeing trailer park and white trash in Ireland just doesn't work. It's not something I envision seeing lots of trailers. Like, it was almost as if, like, that was where the actors went and changed, so they're just going to use that as set pieces too. And
you know, and I don't know. I hope somebody could tell me, like, if there's anybody in the chat room, which, hello, Yanish and Toki Deathhammer, if anybody does know. I mean, I'm assuming there's trailer parks in other parts of the world, you'd think, but
oh yeah.
But all of them just surrounding and him just having a crazy fest of going after every one of them and throwing them and slashing and biting. It was kind of, it was just insanity to see. But I know that, yes, it doesn't have one of the most amazing stories. It doesn't have the most amazing special effects. But for me, it worked for back in the day, for when that's how some cheesy horror movies were. It worked for its time period. And yes, I understand. I know it didn't age well, unlike Pumpkinhead, which we'll get to. But I think that's why it's cool when we do this show, is where the hell do you ever hear people ever talk, not much about Pumpkinhead, but let alone Rawhead Rex, but just to give it a double feature, it's definitely a twist. It's not the typical, okay, this is the last day of Halloween, or I mean, our last week
for the Halloween month. We're going to talk about Rawhead Rex to close out.
Exactly. It's like, usually it's like people like, all right, let's talk about Elm Street. Let's talk about Friday 13th or Halloween. And we just threw them a curveball and given two movies that a lot of people maybe haven't seen. One definitely probably haven't seen. The other they've seen, and I hope they still love, with being Pumpkinhead, but I'll pass it back to you guys, because I still enjoyed it. You know,
well, I mean, it's for what it is, and all of its shortcomings, it's still enjoy. It's just that first half of that, it's just very sludgy, and I know it's building up and giving you more exposition. Here's what's going to happen, you know, but it just didn't work. That part of it didn't work for me. Now, when everything else starts happening, and, you know, he's biting people, and limbs are getting torn off, and he's pissing on people, then I'm in. I would say out of 5 stars, I'd probably just give it like a 2.5.
Look at Tyler. Tyler wouldn't give it a star. He probably wouldn't give that thing a star. He's like,
No. I give it -5 stars. I'm not giving it. I'm taking back 5 from it.
So here's 5 stars for you.
I'm making sure this movie is homeless. It doesn't have any money to pay for anything. You know, it's
so. Well, that's the thing about this film. Like, I appreciate, like, even though the creature is not very impressive and he's goofy as fuck, like, it doesn't look good, but they at least try to be serious with it, if that makes any. Maybe it would have benefited more if they would have hammed it up a lot more than
I think that's the point, is that the acting was, and look, you know, Nathan has kind of veered off and just made it a big to-do to watch some of the most crap you can imagine for fun. Granted, he's drinking alcohol to help calm the wounds he's inflicting upon his brain, so he's kind of immune to the pain and suffering visually, and his hearing too is intact. So
We got to get you drinking, Tyler. This is going to be the key.
Every time someone offers me alcohol, I tell them, look, I got acid reflux, and I made this mistake last week. Of course, it didn't happen, but it was just like drinking sour orange juice. Like, oh, man, I tell you people all the time, I can't drink the stuff. And when I do, to accommodate, because you got to try, man, you can't even taste it. And I'm like, oh, great, where's my pills? You know, all because everybody's like, come on, man, we're smoking in the boys' room here. So I got to try to be like the cool kids and have a sip of their horse piss. I'm like,
All right, Yanish, anyway. Photoshop, Tyler, peer pressure, bathroom. Someone's like trying to get him to smoke weed or something.
Plenty of 80s shit to go from there.
Anytime like an attractive woman offers me something I would not normally eat, I will gladly try to show I'm a man, even though I'm like, Anyway, it was, look, and I can appreciate, you know, certain films that don't have budget. They don't have the most impressive monster. The acting, you know, because I don't want very impressionable acting from my horror movies. That's not what we watch them for. You know, we watch them to be entertained. I can appreciate, you know, the settings, like the sets, the scenery, the environment that they take place. It's one of the things I love about American Werewolf in London, especially the opening of it, where they're walking around in the moors and then come to the slaughtered lamb out in the middle of just, you know, kind of the valleys of England. I mean, that's kind of what almost felt like this movie kind of had going for it when you're starting out. But it just kind of comes off as just an incohesive story of just stuff happening, and you're just going to led to believe that this is some sort of, you know, demonic creature that was, you know, stopped by, you know, religion and stuff. But it just comes off as just, you know, not fun, I'm not saying this to be funny or anything like that. Just watching the movie, it just wasn't fun. There was nothing going on for this movie where I'm like, I'm watching these, like, so much bad acting, or how it just left itself open for so many pokes and jabs and jokes that you could just make fun of it so much. And it was a chore. It was not fun to watch. It was, and I'm still trying to understand how Joe, because there are certain movies, like he compares, like Toxic Avenger is by far superior to this film. I mean, we're talking to, like, you know,
yeah, goofy, I mean, stuff.
Because at least Toxic Avenger was, like, I think they were in on the joke. And I'm sure when Clive Barker made this, he's trying to make a low-budget horror movie, you know. And I mean, because the first time I ever saw any image of Rawhead Rex, I just thought the image was quite goofy looking. I mean, it looks like a monster that you got at Spencer's Gifts. One of those really exaggerated large rubber masks that just put it on a guy where the mouth kind of only moves because you're trying to – it's almost like a hand puppet almost.
Which, yeah, and that's what I was going to mention about it. First, I just want to say Toki Death Hammer, yes, I think a figure could look cool as shit. If they turn that into an action figure, yes, I would actually love one. Yeah, yes, I agree with you, Toki. It would be great. But I think the vision was – there was more – okay, I think – see, the dogs are into it too. No, I think Clive Barker's vision just didn't really transpire or, you know, turn into – a character, as well as what was in his head. I think he had a great vision of this big, monstrous, hulking, nasty monster. But definitely, like you said, they didn't have the budget to do it, and he probably didn't animate like he wanted, because I'm sure in his vision, he's seeing this gigantic son of a bitch, and then the mouth could probably move, and I could see him picturing it opening and teeth snarling, but it turned into just being, like you said, a big mask, open mouth. That's why it looked goofy when he ran, and times they tried to make it move. But I wish that at the time when it was done, that maybe they could, if they had a better budget, something. Because I think that this
creature feels out of place too. Like this creature that you're giving, it feels out of place with this with these religious connotations, because it definitely revolves around spirituality, hell, and a lot of these, you know, religious references throughout the film, and it just feels like it's an idea in a creature that, regardless of how ineffective or how low budget the creature effects were, it feels out of place in this movie that's definitely revolving around, you know, the devil and how, you know, Christian faith can trump, you know, this creature. It just feels like, you know, you got two different movies. This monster wandered off the set from another, you know, B movie onto this kind of, you know, evil, demonic, religious, you know, cult film or something like that. And we'll just keep rolling the camera kind of thing. It just doesn't feel.
I think this was just his, this was his version of a big demon devil in his head.
But the hair, one of the goofy thing is like the black hair, it looks like, so it just doesn't look right. It looks
It's definitely,
it's like an amalgam of just stuff. It doesn't feel like it fits or works together from a visual standpoint.
I just think he had a grand vision that this didn't turn into an actual thing, you know, being with all its special effects like probably he wanted, because I gotta give it to him. Because like you said, yeah, it's definitely something you've never seen. I mean, with the crazy ass hair, the weird kind of beady eyes, the gigantic mouth, he's real buff. You can definitely look at, you can look at Rawhead Rex and say, yeah, that doesn't look like this demon or this creature or this creature. It's his own thing. But I think it was just, it was a curse for its time, because they just didn't have what they probably wanted to do to make it. Like now I'd wonder with special, not only with special effects, but the things they could do stuff, you wonder if they could make something more intimidating.
Because he wants to remake it. I did see an article on that.
He does?
Yeah. He wants to remake it. Tyler, you're taking it too seriously. Yeah, it's a crap movie, but honestly, you have a hard time watching like the B movies anyway without just being like, oh my god, this sucks.
Because I've seen enough in my day. I'm like, you know what? It's just not fun to sit and watch stuff that's just, you know, just not entertaining. And
as a kid, now, I know this is, of course, is hypothetical, and it's not even really fair to ask, because I'm sure you could probably say, nope, I'd still hate it. But do you think possibly as a kid, and if you would have seen it in 1987, it would have did anything different? Like when you were younger, could you picture young Tyler seeing it? Would he have maybe freaked you out a little bit? Would there have been anything in your head to think,
I mean, because there's some horror films. The first one that comes to mind was not something that Nathan gave me a bootleg copy of, which was Dark Age, about a giant croc terrorizing an Australian community. And as a kid, I thought it was a freaky and scary crocodile movie. And watching it as an adult, I'm like, it has like a simplistic charm to it. It was not a chore to watch, but obviously does not hold that magic that because I hadn't seen it probably close to 30 or over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a couple of effective ideas, but obviously because it's a low budget, you know, Aussie film, it just doesn't hold up that great.
Mm-hmm.
And with Rawhead Rex, maybe I won't say anything's possible, because as a child, I definitely was scared easily by most horror related characters. So I won't say no, but I won't also say it was something that it would be something that I, because, you know, I mean, I could almost see it as because I kind of expected it the way you guys wanted to make sure it was kind of lumped Pumpkinhead. I assume Nathan had seen it, and obviously Joe, I thought Joe had seen it a lot more, that it was a very violent horror movie. You know, that even though it's a low budget one, it's very kind of like Evil Dead, which I don't, it's got some good ideas, but I really don't enjoy watching Evil Dead. I prefer watching Army of Darkness.
Which is funny though, because I'm like, well, watch Evil Dead 2, and you're like, well, that one, you said, I think I remember you saying at one point that was too like goofy and silly, but honestly, it has less goofy silly stuff than Army of Darkness does, because I remember go ahead.
Oh no, I was just, well, I mean, because it's ironic that I would prefer Army of Darkness, which is the more sillier of the three films. But I guess just because I liked the idea, there were some good moments in Evil Dead, but I thought the gore was just like, this is ridiculous. Like not in a, it just kind of focused on, let's see how silly and over the top. And you're like, can we move on here kind of thing?
So that, you thought that's how the gore was going to be in this?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was expecting, just because, you know, even though I've only seen images of Rawhead Rex, which even the title seems kind of like out of place. It just doesn't feel like a name of like a demon. It kind of seems like the name of a butcher or something like that. Like a local butcher that goes nuts and starts hacking at people and serving them in his deli. That sounds like Rawhead Rex. But this creature, it just feels like it does, nothing fits. I feel like it, everything, I feel like everything's out of place, but, you know, Joe really likes it, and you know, I know Nathan's accusing me of taking it too seriously.
Well, no, I'm just saying in the context of like, I don't know.
I guess this was my assumption, was that you guys wanted to make this like, I thought maybe there's something here that you guys saw that, you know what? Okay, in my impression of it firsthand was like, I don't think this is gonna be a very good movie. But because Joe was pushing for it for so long, I give Joe credit, because Joe and I have a lot of the same taste in movies, but then he comes along with something like this, and it makes me rethink, I don't even know Joe anymore, you know?
And, I think, but, I just want to lump them together because, again, it's not the typical stuff you're going to hear on a podcast, but also because it was just two nasty creatures. You got this goofy-looking but kind of nasty creature where I could see where he wanted to go, and hopefully a newer vision could be more intimidating. And then you got Pumpkinhead. It's just two kind of gross things that, as a kid, freaked me out because I couldn't remember if it was like from one year to another, like it came out back-to-back, and so I just went from one thing to another thing, and I was just into kind of gross, freaky stuff as a kid. So I thought, it could be a unique thing to hear in a double podcast, especially when you and Nathan were both like, we could start doing some double episodes for the Halloween month. I was like, I think those two could lump together, you know? I mean, they're not similar in story, but just, I guess, gross creature factor-wise. It's not like they're these slasher characters that are humans.
Well, I didn't even find anything gross about Rawhead Rex either. Like, it was like when people find a body hanging up in the woods, but all you can see is his bare back and people are screaming. I'm like, are they screaming because of his back fat or something like that? Like, everyone was just such, you know, ah! You know, it's a man with no shirt on, you know. That's kind of what... So, yeah, I didn't think it was that gory. I didn't think...
Well, like, the other thing that looked sick to me was the part where it looked like his actual chest or heart was beating at one point when that, you know, his crazy disciple was in front of him. I don't know if either of you remember the part, but it just seen it pulsing and vibrating, and the parts where he'd bite and squirt blood and kind of ripping through people. It's like, those are the kind of things like, eh, that's what I meant. And he kind of just looked sadistic and just, yeah, if some parts weren't there, I think it could have looked a little more intimidating. But damn it, that running part, which Nathan, I think, immediately knew when I said, and probably even you, Tyler, when he ran, it's like, oh boy, it just looks so goofy because the head's flopping and looking up because it's just a big giant fucking mask. But it's hey, if there's people that are, you know, like some B-rated movies and you're into that stuff and you've never seen it, it's like, I'd still say,
give it a shot. Maybe, because, I mean, that first half is just slow.
But it's an hour and 25 minutes, though. So over half the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, so 25 minutes of footage is worth viewing for you guys.
I wouldn't say, like, totally, like, absolutely worth it, but I think, and at least for me.
You can't say I dozed off during part of it. I mean, that doesn't bode well to suggest people for to go check it out.
Yeah, but if you're into like that,
and I know people
that,
are
that realm know. Of just like bad horror movies, I would recommend it.
I think had it been told that's what to expect, and because you guys didn't say that, I was assuming like it's supposed to be a legitimate contender along with not as high as like, you know, even Candyman, which I've never been much of a fan of, but it has a cult following, which I kind of assumed it did, but I assume because you guys wanted to do it that it wasn't considered what it was.
I don't know many people. When I bring up Rawhead Rex, I admit not many people would know what the hell I'm talking about. I
just assume because there's so many horror movies out there that have got cult followings that are highly appreciated, even if it's an obscure Hammer horror film or Splatter University or The Mutilator or whatever. You know, Slaughter High. The
Mutilator. I need to watch Mutilator again. Slaughter High.
The movies I just mentioned, I've watched with Nathan. The only reason they were fun to watch because Nathan was making fun of them the whole time. To sit by myself and watch it, no. I would rather just, you know, watch Apple Brand.
That's what I was saying earlier. Like, when it comes to most of these things, like, you couldn't sit by yourself and watch these. See, I could sit there and watch them and still have fun with them because I can just watch it and make fun of it to myself and just be like, this is great. You know, but
that's what I kind of had to do last night, you know, because it just kind of got to where I was trying to insert my own, you know, Mr. Science Theater jabs at it and stuff like that.
I will say, since you brought up Slaughter High, that it sucked then and it still sucks now. There's only one funny part in it is when those that couple's fucking and she's like, "Oh, dirty to me," and he's like, the tit,
screw,"
and it's like, "What?" But that movie still sucks ass. It uses like one piece of music through the whole thing. I love the dogs. I'll be right back.
You're into it. That's fine. Go ahead. Oh, there he took off. This was something that I don't even know how many theaters in the United States, if it was even released in theaters. I mean, I honestly don't know.
Yeah, that was something I was wondering too. I wondered if it was something that was released in Europe.
Yeah, now that's the thing. I know this is, obviously something, whatever. If it was Ireland or wherever it was, I know that this is something that wasn't made in the United States, was brought here, and maybe had a limited theatrical release, but where I live, we never seen it in the theaters. It's just my first impression was, yes, to rent that thing at Ben's Tropical Fish. So that's why probably most people don't know what the hell this movie was, and there's probably a lot of, even I think rental stores probably didn't even want to get it.
I never saw it once in any of the video stores, because most of my education of horror movies was seeing the box art from at Beyond Video and King Video and Showtime and Two Thumbs Up. It was looking at all the box art. I mean, there's still to this day so many horror movies I never saw, but the box art has been burned into my brain, and not once. I actually didn't see an image of Rawhead Rex till I watched someone had put together a music video of horror movies using a particular Disturbed song, and it worked, and that was a collection of horror movie characters and clips throughout this music, and it worked very well with the music. And that was the first time I saw Rawhead Rex, and I can't remember where else I heard about it, because this wasn't the first time it had been brought up, but it was just one of those things. Like, this must be one of those movies that has a cult following, you know, like a lot of
and that is it. It's, you're right. I always bring Ben's up because Ben's would always have some of the most unique things compared to anywhere I'd go. I mean, when I go to Video Connection and Blockbuster, for example, I never seen Rawhead Rex there, but I go to Ben's and it was just a treasure trove. And it's so funny because it was such a small little place. I mean, it was not a gigantic store by any means. I mean, it was nowhere to compare of a vast volume that Video Connection and Blockbuster had, of how big those places were. This was like just walking into, picture this room here, maybe twice the size and length. That's how big Ben's was for when you go to the videos, and the other part was all the fish and stuff. So, but when I'd go in there, he would just have the biggest selection of all these movies. And yeah, Rawhead Rex was, I mean, that was where I first seen it. And I was just obsessed on getting that. I liked getting Deathstalker, and I liked getting Toxic Avengers, any of them. I'd go through this weird little cycle of all them beyond whatever else would, you know, be new that would come out. But when there was never really nothing new, it was just go back to some of these try and true ones that I'd always like renting. But yeah, I never seen Rawhead Rex at Video Connection or Blockbuster. So
yeah, I'm kind of curious if Rawhead Rex, Tyler, Pete Creek had that, and we just always passed, like went by it every time. I'm kind of curious if that was on the shelf.
I don't know. We looked, I mean, because we looked at the horror section in that video store an awful lot. I mean, we were sold on a lot of the box art, like Splatter High and Slaughter University and stuff like that. I mean, it's possible, but I would have thought we would have came across.
Wait. Did you say
Slaughter University or Splatter
High? No, it's Splatter University and Slaughter High.
Okay.
Yeah, you did that, and it got me confused. I was like, did I say that wrong this entire time?
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember they were both hilarious to watch with you. Because
I think I do have that copy.
Because one of them, I do remember seeing it Beyond Video a lot. I think it was Slaughter High. Because it has, like, the skeleton with the graduation cap on, holding, like, an apple that's going to explode.
But then, you know, this is from that store that Ty and I go to. Splatter University. Man, this is a chunk of shit, too, man. Like, this is not good. But it's fun. It's fun enough. It's better than Slaughter High, for sure. But, yeah, it was, like, every weekend we would go and just...
The trashiest of horror movies, and we watch them at like 1 o'clock in the morning, where Nathan's half asleep, his hair's all puffed out, and he's just like, "Yeah, it's a piece of shit," and and I'm laying on the floor, just laughing hysterically in the floor because he's just tearing it apart. But I'm half asleep at the same time, so you're on that high of like you're sleepy, but everything's funny, man. You know, and that's I think if we were to ever watch Rawhead Rex, that would have been. You know, the way to do it would be watch at 2 o'clock in the morning where I can barely hold my eyes open. And Nathan's just.
That's what I should have done. I should have went to Tyler's place last night, brought my sleeping bag, and be like, Tyler, I'm going to get drunk. You sit here and we'll make fun of this.
Yeah, that would have been so much better instead of me just. Man, I
still give it a 4 out of 5. I like my game. I do. I still, damn it, I love it. It's cheesy. It's corny.
There's nothing wrong with that because I like movies that I know both you guys probably are not fans of or other people are not. So, in that regard, no, I think that's perfectly fine. I guess I really had in my mind that it was going to be something that there's a reason why Joe really likes this movie. And because I was not told it was a silly, schlocky B-movie monster movie, I felt like I was blindsided by, what the hell is this?
You know what I got to mention real quick about some other movies, some that were good, then it just got bad to me. I love the first Sleepaway Camp. Just love.
Oh, yeah. I like that too. Yeah.
I love it. And it worked for what it was. Then here came part two with this other person doing Angela, and I couldn't stand whoever the actress was.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen's sister.
Yeah, and then it seemed too... you know, quirky, funny, goofy. It's like the kills you couldn't take serious because she's right there. It's just, I hate it. And I also hated the misleading box art where they seem, you know, the Jason mask, the Freddy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, oh, and then that pissed me off.
I love all three of those films. Tyler and I actually sat down and watched all three together when I bought the box set on DVD. And that
was
awesome.
And I was afraid to go downstairs after watching Angela's reveal at the end. I'm like, I ain't going downstairs, man.
That always
some naked dude with Angela's face going. I'm like, oh God, was man,
creepier and shit. I remember I hated that
it's
part.
Still
of
weird
the
to watch.
It
know?
Is.
It's a fun, you know, silly B movie. But that ending is just.
It's spookier and shit. That gives you chills. And if you're watching that when it's dark and if you're by yourself and you seen that
part. Oh, we watched it at night in the dark, too. That's why I ain't going to just get a bottle of water. Nathan, you'll get it.
Sure, whatever.
I wish 2 and 3 could have had that same good feel as the first one. I mean, they're still good, you know, fun for being, you know, corny little B movies, but they weren't definitely like the first one, which is
You know what? Damn it. That's probably what we should have done in the grand scheme of things, even though I liked Rawhead Rex okay and Joe likes a lot. We should have done Sleepaway Camp instead.
Well, we know what we're doing next year. I mean, put that down.
That's the thing, too. It doesn't even have to be October for us to talk about that.
We can
do it anytime, especially... because Tyler and I always love that part where this group of kids are together, and one of the friends just gives them
his blonde mullet, his pink shirt, and his Dockers and his dress shoes, and just walks by and goes. I mean, what the most, you know, I'm such a tough guy face. I mean, with a part in his hair that you could file papers in. I mean, it, everything in that movie is just so laughable. You just have a great time, you know, even though some of it's just kind of makes you feel nauseous watching some of it. But 95% of the film is just fun because the acting is just, you know, it's
well, I'm kind of curious now if Tyler were to watch it by himself without me there, if he'd be like, you know what, this movie sucks now.
No. I've watched it by myself. Oh, okay. Plenty of times. Yeah.
All right. I didn't know maybe your opinion just like.
No. I bought it a while back and I have watched it. And no, it's still fun to watch. It's just, you know, there's a couple of moments that are just kind of just weird aside from the ending. But overall, it's a blast to watch. It's fun. I love how goofy
the acting. Yeah, we're going to have to do an episode for that. We'll have to save it for that. But we're going to redeem everything now. Even though, like I said, I still love Rawhead Rex. Tyler, my God, would probably say it's an abomination. Nathan thinks, pretty cool. But now we get to something from Stan Winston and his damn pumpkin head.
Well, all of my stars come from where he just, like, baptizes him with his piss. That was like, for me, stars. I was like, all right, yeah.
Otherwise, it would have nothing. But no, now we can get to something, like I said, I'm assuming all of us would love.
Yes.
And hopefully everybody in the chat room, that's Pumpkinhead. And Stan Winston, my God, created one nasty son of a bitch with this. Go ahead. Whoever wants to start. But
Well, I mean, and he directed it as well. This is based off of a poem. Back when Hollywood didn't want to remake everything, and they took chances, and they're like, you know what, here's this poem. Okay. Let's make a movie out of it. And here we go. I probably saw this later than everybody here. I saw it it was either 98 or 99.
So about 10 years after its release, huh?
Yeah, yeah. One of the guys that we were all friends with, we were over at his house, and he's like, have you seen Pumpkinhead? I was like, no. He's like, oh, you got to watch it. And popped it in and just immediately fell in love with it. It's just a simple story. I mean, obviously, you know, or just what it's based off of, there's not really, you know, too much you can stray away from, but it does a fantastic job of setting up, here's Lance, here's his son, they have like this good bond, and here come these asshole kids. And it kind of starts off, we kind of get the story of the monster at the beginning anyway, but yeah. I don't even know where I'm rambling.
Seen it when he was a kid, right? Didn't Ed see that when
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Ed Hawley.
yeah.
But shit, man, like I'll ask this question before we even start really digging into the story. If the monster hadn't been as impressive as it was, do you think this entire movie would have fallen apart in your eyes?
No.
Not at all? Nope. Like even if the monster sucked, do you still think the movie as a whole would have been?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a tricky thing. I mean, again, it has a great story, but as we know with stories, if it can't be shown in a good light and be acted out properly, it could still look funky. Like, I mean, for example, if it would have had Rawhead Rex type of effects and that would have been the creature, that could have took you out of the moment of this serious-ass cool story. But, yeah, the pumpkin, thank God he did look how he did, because he was believable. That looked like a believable, damn fucking nasty creature that really came to life. And you got to give all the praise to the effects studio for Stan Winston Studios and all them to make that and make it look so believable, which in contrast, when we talked about when they finally made, what was it, part 3 and 4 years and years later, and they used special effects and computers, and they're all trying to capitalize on the CGI type stuff at times. And when you see Pumpkinhead jump off a barn and land, I was like, oh God, it looks so phony. Yeah. I will take that one from 1988 any day of the week over this crap. Because it looked believable. It looked like a living, breathing, nasty fucking demon. So, God, it still freaks me out. Pumpkinhead, oh God, what a scary looking sucker.
Now, was this a film that you caught on home video, or was it something you caught theatrically?
This one, unfortunately, I didn't see at the theaters.
I'm kind of curious. Did that even have a wide opening?
I'll be honest. I don't know. I just know it was one I rented the hell out of, and then they would show it on TV a lot. But yeah, Pumpkinhead was rented quite a bit. I mean, from Ben's. But I don't know if I had a theatrical. But it was it's something different, especially when, you know, a movie of, like, you know, say, Vengeance or Revenge. You know, with those, like you said, dipshit kids, they're flying by on the motorcycle and they kill his son. And he wants that revenge and finds out about this witch kind of woman within the woods and the whole thing with the blood, need the blood of the son, the blood of the father, and him having to dig up this thing that he knows nothing of. And then, in essence, brings Pumpkinhead to life. It's like a demon of vengeance that'll kill, you know, it's taking vengeance to kill all the people that basically would, until it gets to the main person. But the connection it had with the father then was different. Like, you know, every time there was a kill, you seen the father having that feeling like, oh, they have like this kind of bond, and you realize, yeah. Oh, they're
which
way to
is,
stop.
Which is a good little.
I liked it. Yeah. And I liked it because then it's like, okay, the only way you're going to stop Pumpkinhead is, well, if you kill the host, the one who started all, you kill him, and then Pumpkinhead dies, because it's like, I didn't even know what clearly would have been done, like, if Pumpkinhead would have, like, went through his entire killing spree, would he have just stopped, would he have disappeared, went back to nothing? I mean, I wouldn't even have known in that movie what would have happened for the first one.
Well, but I feel like the way it's kind of laid out, and the way that she even kind of says you'll pay, like, the ultimate price, more or less, I kind of feel like that's implied, that sooner, like, that's how it's always gone, that once that connection's been established, it's usually that person just like, all right, they kill themselves, more or less. Or either that, or I imagine maybe like Pumpkinhead would just like kill them and then they both just kind
of die. Didn't Pumpkinhead start like the characteristics of the face started changing?
Yes,
towards
yeah, the end? There at the end, it started to look more like him. And real quick before we get into it, because we were kind of wondering, it was given a limited release theatrically. January 89, so yeah, that pretty much explains. Only made $4.3 million, so
okay, that's different. I didn't know that it was released.
It didn't tell me like how many theaters it opened to, but it did get some form of release, so
okay. Well, go ahead, Tyler, some of your thoughts on Pumpkinhead.
I didn't see it till probably not too far before Nathan did. Just because it was something that I would see at nighttime video, and the box art I thought was quite creepy, but I didn't know anything about it.
Which box art did you get?
The one where he's in the it's like the painting of Pumpkinhead, kind of like
standing
this.
Up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I just didn't know what it was, other than it was a horror movie. It looked pretty creepy to me. And then my mom and Papa had a copy of it at their house, and they live in the woods. And my mom still lives in the house to this day. And we were me and my dad and my brother were staying the night there, and they had it, and we decided to watch it. And it's a small house out in the woods, so all you are is surrounded by woods. And it's like I said, I go up there right now, it's a small house still surrounded by woods all over, almost like you could go up there and film a horror movie up there right now. And I thought I was having fun with it, and then we get to the Haggis part. And that's what scared the hell out of me when I was more scared of Haggis the witch than anything else in the movie, because
I mean, she's creepy and very, very effective.
Very. And as an adult, I like, oh, I relish just how good the set was for the exterior of her house up there in like a mountain swamp. And then you go inside the house, it's all lit with orange from the fire, but just how the scene was shot. It's just like you're walking into the house of hell, because it's all fire. I mean, from the colors and everything, the color scheme looks like you're going to make a deal with the devil. And it was knowing that the woman that was playing that was wearing makeup, but she has a very raspy voice. And you watching like the Shout Factory documentary, she's kind of starting to look how Haggis looked at that time, you know, because she's aged a lot. But she did such a fantastic job with her demeanor. And clearly is someone that you do not want to mess with, that she's left all alone. And the build up to all that. And I mean, what makes it much more, and you find yourself really invested in it already, because it's a short movie. It's not a long movie by any means, but the scenes you're given with Lance and his boy, you really buy into his character and the kind of relationship they have with the short amount of the screen time that they're given together before his little boy is killed. And so you sympathize with him, but you also realize you don't want to see him go down this path already, because obviously, you know, it's not going to lead to good things. And the kids themselves, like, you got one prick who played, you know, there's the same guy who played Todd Gack on an episode of Seinfeld. Not that you guys would care about that.
Yeah, Seinfeld
but
sucks.
But you feel sorry for the rest of them, because they didn't do anything wrong. And they're trying to deal with the situation that's, you know, oh, God, what do we do? And they all felt bad for, you know, for what they saw.
Well, I mean, that was the thing too, is like, I can't remember that asshole's name, but he had clearly been drinking. They got on the bike. They run over. See, I can never remember the name of the little boy. I want to say it's Billy, right? Yeah. I always say, because Lance is Ed Harley, we always called the little boy, little boy, there we go, Rudy Harley, because he looked like Rudy Mills.
Oh, he does look like Rudy Mills, yeah.
So we just used to call him Rudy Harley. Anyway, so that guy had a little bit to drink, and he's like getting on his bike and everything, and hits him. Everyone else is like, hey, we gotta stay here when he comes with medical attention, whatever. And he's like, oh, I can't get in trouble again. Because he had already had some run-ins with the law. So that's when that sort of sets him off. Because he's kind of like really fucking crazy. Because after they do that, they go back to the cabin. And then he like smacks the one chick around, locks the other two in the closet. Because he just doesn't want to be. Because he's an aspiring motocross guy. So he's like on the brink of being super famous or something.
In his eyes. And guys like that have always got like the hottest girl in the movie. Like, you know, it's like, dude, how's a beautiful woman like that just get, you know, linked up with some idiot like that?
Must have a big dinger.
Or so he thinks, you know. But it's you really get invested in all these characters, and then you feel bad for all of them. You know, it's even when Ed makes the deal and uncovers Pumpkinhead, brings the body up, and, you know, he's envisioning Billy waking up and saying, what'd you do, Daddy?
Yeah, that was effective.
And I remember that's what Lance said sold him on the script, that he had, like, such an emotional, like, breakdown. It gave him chills when he read that in the script. He said, that's why I had to do this movie, was because that one scene. And it makes a lot of sense. You don't get those kind of emotional elements in something that's considered just kind of a run-of-the-mills horror movie. But you do feel bad for the teenagers. You feel bad for Ed Harley. And then when you're the build-up of this legend, local legend that's going on with, you know, the mountain family that come down, and when he goes up.
There's a shitload of those guys, because you have, like, the brothers and sisters there that pull up to Ed's general store. Mm-hmm. But then
when Flower being the father there.
Yeah. But when, you know, after Billy's killed and Ed wants to find the answers because he thinks that he can get vengeance and bring it back and all this stuff, that when he goes to visit, you know, the dad's immediately like, I'm not going to tell you where it's at, but then his son. But it's just when he's traveling down that road, I see so many other people there. I'm like, is this like a little community here? Yeah. Is that just how big the family is?
I often kind of felt like it's probably like all immediate. I mean, I guess
it's really a lot of inbreeding. Yeah, there's a lot of inbreeding. It's like all 500.
Don't immediately want to. Not that just the dirt poor, you know, salty. Nah, they're all sleeping.
Well, because I'm kind of thinking about this too. Because once Billy's injured and hit, like, there's no urgency for Ed to like go to a hospital. So I'm assuming that there's not really hospitals in this area. Like, it's that rural that there's just nothing there. We'll like, say, they may have a doctor, but not really. That's the one thing, I guess, that sort of threw me off rewatching it again this time. And Emily's the one that brought it up, because she kind of overanalyzes these things a little more. She's like, well, why not just take them to a hospital? And I was like, well, I think with just the area that they're in and how they're living their life, like, I just don't think that that's a thing, really. I don't know.
Plus, I also think, too, and I think Emily's thoughts can be debunked by this, is that when Ed picks him up, you know, the boy is dead, essentially. Well, then he breathes his last breath when he says, Daddy, and he says yes, and then he just dies completely. But I think in Ed's eyes, he doesn't want to believe his boy is hurt or dead. So that's why he goes home, washes his face, and is talking to him as if he's alive, and then believes that Haggis could probably bring him back to life, which is why I feel like the idea of taking him to a hospital, you know, they're backcountry people. They probably just don't. They keep themselves. I mean, they immediately look at the teenagers as outsiders. Like they're them city slickers peoples.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. That's why I kind of felt like, to even bring up the hospital, it kind of seems like that would be out of the element. Because
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking too. But it was, once you brought it up, I was like, well, it kind of made me had to think about it a little more. Of like, all right, well,
I see what you mean, though. There's probably a local doctor, but you're right.
Yeah, they probably have somebody in the that's like a doctor, but
a hospital is probably, you know, miles away into the you know, bigger city, if you will. You know, they're in the smaller, you know, country area or something. They probably have to go into the big city to go to the
doctor. I'd say it's probably hours away. I mean, because when the mountain family, like, that's their only means of getting groceries is this little hole in the wall in the middle of nowhere. It's just one room, and, you know, they don't sell alcohol. It's just, I mean, that less than the bare essentials. I mean, you really feel like this, you know, like it's something that just time forgot.
Yeah, just a small town in the middle.
Yeah, well, not even a town. I mean, but I can appreciate simplicity. Because when I do, you know, because for work I have to go to a lot of like small town or rural areas and things like that. And I'll often think of First Blood or Pumpkinhead when I pass through a lot of these like backcountry areas and just think, you know, what do these people do on a daily basis? What do they do? Do they have entertainment, or do they just, you know, say all she could do is take you straight to hell? You know, I love that line. In the movie.
I also think of Wrong Turn as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah.
Because we honestly around here have a lot of those kinds of roads that I have just gone down purposely because I'm like, maybe someone will throw some spikes across the road and. I'll have an adventure. It'll be great. It'll be a fun time.
That first Wrong Turn, that was pretty weird. And then here came the subsequent sequels that just They just went more downhill. Bam. They made a wrong turn, literally, when they made the rest of those movies. First one was great, though. But I just wanted to say, I did still want Joel to die. I mean, no matter what, even though he, like, felt, you know, like, remorse and finally wanted to see the error of his ways, I still wanted the guy to get killed. So, yeah, that's me being vindictive. It's terrible.
Well, no, not at all. When everybody else is dying before he does.
Yeah.
Then you kind of feel like, well, I mean, they're all going to die except for, you know, the young Clark Kent and his pretty girlfriend.
Poor Maggie. Was it Maggie, the one that he took way up under that tree and dropped onto the rock? Was that Maggie or was that,
I can't remember.
No, the blonde girl, didn't he grab a hold of her and put her on like scrape, like,
He put a cross on her head because she.
Then Joel's girlfriend, I think, was the one that got dropped from the tree, right?
What was her name?
Or the really hot brunette kind of looked like.
Yeah, she was the brunette. Yeah, the brunette. Damn it, I can't remember it. Yeah, Maggie is the hot blonde. You're right. I can't remember the brunette. Oh, I hate that. I can't remember it. No, I feel like Tyler when he's like, "Damn it."
That's okay. Yeah. She's hot. We all know who we're. I mean, because all three of the women in the movie are very hot anyway. That's why you feel you almost kind of felt like all bets are off, like all of them could die because the thing doesn't stop until it's killed everybody that it was set out to do. And a lot of the scenes of exposition, you know, I find to be some of the most fascinating. That's why when Lance goes up to visit the family, he gets turned away, and then the older son chases him down. They make the deal. You know, and just kind of this buildup of who Haggis is, and then when he meets up with the remaining two in that abandoned church, and he starts telling him, you know, well, I thought it was just something that, you know, to scare kids, and him telling that, you know, his uncle said, look, we all got to be in bed early tonight because Pumpkinhead is going to be out, you know, and that it only comes out when something serious has happened, something like killing. Like, it makes it chilling because these kids have grown up hearing this story of this myth, you know, legendary mythical creature in their eyes just to scare kids to keep them to, you know, from misbehaving. And just the set of this abandoned church. And after it's all over, they look and there's Pumpkinhead standing in the entrance church.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes because they think that by even being there with that they might be safe, that he wouldn't cross over, and he just walks through. And that's one of my favorite shots is when he's walking through and you just sort of see like the moonlight going through the cross behind him.
Damn it, that's weird.
Yeah. Like, still in your thunder, Joe.
I was going to say the same damn thing because I love that scene when he's standing there and you've seen the blue and you've seen the smoke and how the lighting, it's just so fucking atmospheric and creepy. Yeah. But I also like, how when he comes in there and you see the big cross, it means nothing to him to throw that cross to the side because you think, oh, maybe this cross, that thing that is sitting there would be a holy, you know, symbol that would free Pumpkin. It's like nothing's going to stop Pumpkinhead. That's what made him even scarier is anytime you could see these creatures that you think are going to be stopped with holy symbols not get stopped, then you're like, oh, God, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's like, what's going to stop this thing? If that can't stop it, then nothing will. So,
exactly.
Yeah. I always like it when they do that in horror films.
I was going to say for a quick example, not that it's great, but they even did it with Rawhead Rex. Remember when the priest is holding the cross
let up
to
Rawhead
Rex? But I like that Rawhead Rex is acting like he's scared, and then he just grabs it. So, It can't even stop Rawhead Rex. But I do have a question for you. Or
what a terror he was.
I'm still just thinking about him opening his shirt and Rex just pisses on him. That's going to stick with me forever now.
I got a question for Nathan and Tyler because I haven't seen any of the makings of or documentaries of Pumpkinhead. Was it ever said how much Tom Woodruff, like, you know, how much he did as Pumpkinhead and how much were, like, animatronics and stuff? I mean, was that ever mentioned?
Yeah, they because obviously, like, the puppet they use only has, like, you know, I think given what they could do, you know, because there's certain, like, when he comes in the church, that's clearly him in the suit. Mm-hmm. But then you've got a lot of shots where it clearly looks like it's a puppet or animatronic head, you know, for the close-ups, like when he bursts into the closet and kind of, you know, shows his teeth at the mountain boy. God, I can't remember anybody's name in this movie except, you know, Haggis and Ed Harley and Buck Flower playing the uncle who blows his nose with the same handkerchief and puts it back in his pocket. I see people at work who still do that nonsense.
Yeah, I don't. I've never understood that at all.
My papa used to do that too. I'm like, you're putting snot back in your pocket so you can wash your face with it again?
Yeah. and it's like, how many times do you use it before it's like you either get a new one or you wash it, I guess? Like,
washing all the snot out of it. I mean, I thought the same thing. Now, I know back in the day before they had disposable Kleenex, that was their thing. But it's like, okay, guys, we've moved on. Get some damn tissue. Quit blowing your snot into that. Putting it back in your pocket. Doing it again. And you got this all crusted up fucking piece of...
Yeah. And I hate it, too. Like, if you go... to a restaurant and like the napkins are like the actual cloth ones. That's just weird because it's like other people have used these and yes, I know they wash them and all, but
I don't use them.
Just give me something disposable that I can take and
exactly. Give me my napkins from McDonald's that I can take. You're right. I ain't using that. Do you believe that there are still some fucking bathrooms?
I imagine like Joe would probably bring this to like a fancy restaurant. Don't bother. Don't worry. I've got my own. You know, brings out his packets of ketchup, slaps them on the table, his other packet in his pocket, or like, nah, because they're, hey, do you have any replacement sporks by chance? I've only got the one here.
Oh, bitch. I probably could do that. But there are still some places, believe it or not, and I've seen some stalls and some bathrooms at gas stations.
You probably bring your own toilet paper too, don't you?
No, do you steal those too? You know, how some have disposable, I mean, the paper towels, some have the air dryers, but some still have that goofy-ass rolling cloth thing that where you can wipe and then roll it. Do you guys still see those? That is disgusting that they still have those.
I've seen the ones where they pull down, but it's still just disposable. Is this actual cloth?
Check this out. Okay, picture a machine. And picture if there would be a gigantic spindle. You can't see through the inside at the top. Okay. But you're pulling down, and it's basically cloth. It's like one gigantic cloth that's rolled into one, and you wipe your hands, and you can keep pulling. But what it does is keeps rotating it. I'm like, how does this get clean?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
look those up online after we're done. And I don't know if anybody in the chat room has ever seen, but those are disgusting.
Where are you finding these at? What kind of places? Is this just like establishments that were built like in the early 1900s and just haven't changed?
Basically, yeah, because there was still one local restaurant that still had it. It's been there a long time. And then there's a gas station that still has it. And every time I see it, I just, I go pee and wash my hands and then I go like this to just dry my hands. I air dry because I'm like, I'm not touching that.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is it's amazing how many people don't know how to use a fucking toilet. I don't know if I've said this before on the show, but at work the other day, I went up into the bathroom and I've never
left you a present.
I'm never one for urinals because I hate the fact that you're pissing against something so close.
With the backsplash.
With the backsplash, yeah. So I usually just go into a stall and piss just in a regular toilet. But there was like on the back seat of the toilet, you could just see where it's just sort of like gently smeared shit. And I'm like, how does it happen? Does the person just like lift and back up and they're just like, oh yeah, that's better. And then when they shit, it just like goes like that across their ass in the seat, like,
oh, that's gross.
And you know what? It may be a situation too where there might be people that are just too big, and that happens. But people are savages, man. And I've seen them like go in there, take a piss, and don't wash their hands. And to me, that is
I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah. Wash your fucking hands, please. Because you're going to be touching shit that everyone else is going to be touching. And I don't want to touch things that your dick hands have been on.
Yeah, it's gross. Like, thanks for sharing your ball sweat with the rest of us there.
It's gross. Bag.
People don't think ahead. You're right. People are disgusting to walk into a bathroom, shit, piss, whatever, and then leave and not wash their hands. I hate seeing that because then what do? They walk right out and then they go into the grocery store and grab the carts. That's why those sanitary napkins you can grab or whatever to wipe down the grocery carts. I not only wipe the handles, I wipe the inside part where it's the part where they sit their nasty little kids in their shitty diapers there. They sometimes are even sitting in the cart area with their bare feet looking funky. I'm like, I wipe the fucking every bottom. I was like, I ain't putting my groceries in somebody's shit and piss and then taking it home. People are fucking dirty. They are some pretty fucking
people are fucking dirty.
Side rant. There you go. There's our side rant.
Well, Yanish was like, no pre-ranting this time. I was like, well, there'll be I can't talk today.
We have stayed on topic the entire time. I'm shocked. Yeah, I wouldn't have noticed it if you hadn't pointed it out.
Yeah, that's probably the only side rant we had was there and a quick little one about
sleeping. I'm sure we'll have some more.
Yeah, but Yanish said, what is washing hands?
Savages, man.
Savages. But yeah, what a damn good-ass movie, The Pumpkinhead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is one you'd have to, I couldn't imagine anybody hating Pumpkinhead. I can't picture it.
I'm sure there's somebody out there. There's got to be. It's the creature just looks fake, and this is stupid.
It doesn't look phony, though. I mean, you could say it for Rawhead Rex, but Pumpkinhead just does not look fake. That looked like an actual demon come to life. They did a fantastic job.
Plus, I think, too, what makes it all plausible, even if you're watching with someone who doesn't watch many horror movies and they think that they're better than anything that they're watching, the story itself makes you believe the threat of Pumpkinhead because, you know, it's a limited creature. It can't do but so much, but the way they shot it, the way they lit it, the way it's all edited together makes it a very believable creature and that should be feared, but you buy into that because of all the build before it actually arrives, and haggis and the price that Ed pays, and you're scared for everybody because he keeps killing everybody, even the people who clearly had nothing to do with the death. If you get in the way, it's going to kill you too. And
you're right, don't exactly.
That's what makes it you have to believe, you know, and that's what makes a good horror. I mean, you have to believe it's a threat. That's why, you know, we ranted and raved and just beaten the hell out of the remakes, you know, like Nightmare on Elm Street and so on and so forth, because you have to believe it's a threat that you're seeing on the screen, not something that's not taken seriously or made fun of. Everyone just knows Kung Fu all of a sudden starts beating the hell out of the villain. Like, why is this threatening? Why is this scary or whatever? And Pumpkinhead is done to perfection in believing that, you know, that's what makes it fun too. It's the folklore, ancient folklore, local mountain folklore of a creature that could come and take you in the middle of the night if you've wronged anybody. And there's nothing you can stop, nothing you can do to stop it. No weapon, no gun, you know, nothing short of an act of God is going to stop this creature from killing you and anybody that gets in its way. And it won't stop until you're dead. Like, that's what makes it scary. And the people who were, they're all aware of the legend. Like, lacks in modern horror making anymore, because everything revolves around, you know, possessed girls who crawl around on the bed and
same shit over and over, but
pee all over themselves.
But thank God he did look the way he did. I mean, that paid off. I mean, to have the buildup, you needed to have this amazing looking demon. And it worked. But you're right. I would hope that we could see not only slashers return, but maybe more movies like this to theaters. And I ain't just talking about remakes of the ones that we loved, which, sure, it's always cool to, hey, here's another sequel. But I mean, let's see if they can create new creatures or new slasher characters and not the same stuff. Like, everything, it runs its course. You know, runs its course. So like we said, we've seen it with Saw. We've seen it with Paranormal Activities. And
but you're naming bad examples there. Just crap, you know.
No,
crap
but that, exactly. But it's crap that everybody, they're all buying into.
Yeah, but like, I think it's also crap that, you know, what people who are much younger who don't know much about horror, they're going to see
that. That's why I want this. Bring back Slasher to let them see what is intimidating. That's what's so great about Halloween coming out. It's like, okay, now you guys see this shit can be done right. If you do it right, it's not going to be a Rob Zombie butchering that they just fuck it up and everybody's like, oh, nobody likes these movies no more. No, this one done properly, see how Halloween was. Fantastic. Do that kind of shit and let the kids see what it was like when slashers would scare people. Not just, was that a ghost? Oh, did that just move in the background? Oh, I remember I was like, you know, I'm going to watch this fucking Paranormal Activity. I'm going to watch this dumb shit that everybody's seen as the best thing in the world. And I remember just the whole movie sitting like this while everybody else is jumping. just waiting. Then basically almost hour, 20 minutes, you see something move. I was like, oh, wow.
That was fucking scary. Yeah, like, how about that,
Yeah, I was like, wow, that was fucking frightening. I was like, it was the most boring shit in the world. All talking the whole time, like, is this movie going to do anything? And then I can't believe it just spawned sequel after sequel. I was like, I'm not wasting my time with any of that shit. I entertained in a fucking hour and a half that I lost with the dumb first one. What a fucking pile of crap. Sorry, another side rant, but God.
Plus, I miss the monsters of legend. That's what makes Pumpkinhead so much fun. Like, it's not a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch or a abominable snowman or something like that. It's a, you know, the whole bargain with evil, and that the price you pay is that you will become the next Pumpkinhead and you will remain underground, buried until someone decides they want to summon you too. Like, that's the price you pay. You almost feel like this, I mean, that you are essentially in hell. And that's what makes it so sad too, is that, you know, when Haggis puts Lance's body in the grave and you don't know it's Lance until you see the necklace that Billy made for him, it makes it heartbreaking to think that this father that just wanted revenge for his son is now going to pay for the ultimate sin and essentially is going to be in hell for that.
God,
and
that's what God damn you. Tyler Lasquez, with that part of the film, he's like, I could just picture you at work, like getting pissed off and just like smacking yourself in the head and saying that over and over.
Yeah, because I'll get text messages from Nathan and he's just, you know, and I'm just picturing, you know, he's sitting on his tug at work and just slapping his head and they're just laughing at him. What'd you think, Nathan? It'd be an easy Saturday night. You know, you're a fool and you'll die on your tugger. You know, then I'll die. And, you know,
perfect.
They're just laughing.
Perfect.
They're just laughing out while they're spitting their, you know, their spew into their Mountain Dew bottles.
God, yeah, God, man, I feel like if you took away Mountain Dew from like the vending machines at that place, they'd all like lose their minds and start killing each other. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, Mountain Dew is not that great anyway. Sorry, guys, but it's not.
It is the drink of rednecks. I mean, I don't know why that is. It's either Mellow
Yellow gamers, or Mountain Dew. Gamers, man. Gamers. Mountain Dew and Doritos.
But it's more respectable when gamers are using it. When rednecks are just walking around with like an empty bottle in their back pockets, they can spit their, you know, their spew in it. And,
yeah.
I haven't thought of that in years since you just said it. When I used to work at that place where I did all my shit, there was the one guy that was doing some receiving next to me, and I would do the other stuff, but... He would always have his giant 2-liter of Mountain Dew that he would
two liter
Mountain Dew that he would finish off, and then the next day he'd bring in another one. But every day he had a big ass 2-liter of Mountain Dew that he would just go through, and it just looks so fucking disgusting. Like, God, how can you drink
shit?
But I even think the old Mountain Dew commercials advertised it as a backwood hillbilly drink because that's why it was called Mountain Dew.
No offense to anyone out there that's like into that sort of culture and everything, but Tyler and I have just grown up around it our entire lives, and there's so many people our age in high school that honestly would switch back and forth between shit. They'd be like, oh man, Eminem's cool, and you'd see them change how they looked, and then they're like, oh, you know what, I'm gonna wear my Carhartt jacket, and I gotta make sure I got my dip in my mouth.
And the can of skull somewhere in their jeans that's sticking out is protrusive as a massive tumor on your neck.
Yeah, you know, and it got annoying when we were younger, and it's still annoying now because I see a lot of that where I work. And it's,
I mean,
just...
when people watch this stuff and they see movies like Deliverance or Wrong Turn or Pumpkinhead, you know, it's not fake when you see people who act that way or think that way or behave that way.
Yeah,
because it still goes on to this day. So it's not stereotyping people in the South. It's not saying everybody in the South.
Yeah, clearly not, because Tyler and I are right here to be like,
I'm living with filled up with movies and superheroes and comics and toys and movie posters and stuff around, you know, Legends of NASCAR series and stuff like that. Oh my God, we'd go see some high school football. You know, so you're like the black sheep.
Wait! I actually. One of the ladies at work was like, hey, Nathan. I was like, yeah. She was like, the Cougars are up 42-7. I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care.
Which is where we went to high school with. And, man, people would turn out to those Cougar games as if it was watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and
it's high school football, people.
Yeah, and we mainly went just to walk around and just like
hang out.
I went to go try
to talk to girls and Nathan make fun of people. So that was all we did.
Yeah, they're locals. Hey, I wanted to say hello first, real quick, to Eric Amon in the chat room, and also
all we had to do was bring up soda, and it brought him out. He's like, Surge.
Well, the thing is, I'm not going to bring up what he said to me, but he just wanted to let you know that he kind of, in messages on Facebook, experienced like some shit how you guys do when you went to see Halloween. But he experienced something and where he got kicked out. So I just want to say,
hope he didn't get kicked out for talking too much.
No. Well, just something happened. I mean,
he probably pulled an Ed Harley. Like, then I'll die. Then I'll
die. He felt like typing what happened in the chat. He can't. Otherwise, I won't say it.
Yeah, but if you don't want to divulge it on the podcast for Joe to say, just give the okay for Joe to message us after the show to let us know what went down. Because my interest is peaked.
Yeah, I mean, and our buddies Matt and Jordan got they had to get a cop involved when they saw Halloween open night because of four or five middle-aged women that were very attractive but would not shut up when they went to the movie so much that, I mean, it just started a big fight.
Jesus.
So it's becoming epidemic.
Yeah.
It really is.
And it really is.
Because you know what? We're starting a resistance. We will not tolerate this anymore. So people have gotten away with it for so long. Now they're like, you know, well, I never. I mean, the nerve of that guy to tell me to be quiet while he paid for this movie here. You know, I'm back here talking about my latest bowel movement and how I'm really bleeding down here. And he's interrupting my conversation because of that stuff that we're watching.
That stuff screen. That's going on in front of us.
Yeah.
Where am I?
I'm bleeding down here.
You know, I don't know if you guys... I don't even know if this happens for regular movies, but remember I told you I used to win a lot of pre-screening tickets to movies in advance.
Oh, yes. We all know about
that. Yeah, you know, when you saw, you got mail, and then you got a t-shirt from it. Yeah.
No, not that. But leading up to this is when you were in line, and you know me, I don't have a cell phone, don't carry a cell phone, and I never did back then. But before you went
to the
theater.
Do you still have like a phone with like the dial on there?
A rotary phone?
Yeah, Joe has.
Right on.
Or do you have to like hold it up and like crank it up?
Actually, you know what? Joe and I talked about this on our bullshit thing before last week's episode. He does have one of those in his house, and it's actually kind of smart because when the power goes out, that is the one phone that will work in your house. So
yeah, so I have that as a backup. But when we'd be in line at the theaters, and since this is 3 or 4 days before the actual, you know, movie's release date, they would always say, okay, if anybody has cell phones, put them out in this bag right here, and you get them after the movie because they didn't want anybody going in there using a recording device to record the movie or to do anything to illegally get stuff days in advance, and people would put it in there. I just wonder what people would think of that nowadays if they actually said, okay, you can't go into the theater with your phones. If you have it, put it in a bag, and you get after it.
I think that'd be great if they say, we can't let you in the theater if you have a cell phone on you.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That is something you're – along with your ticket, we need your ticket. And if you have a cell phone, you need to go back to your car and put your cell phone away because we're not allowing people to bring stuff. Because what do you need it in there for?
Exactly. You know, shouldn't be on the phone or doing anything anyways. It's only
That's also like, yeah, that's going to stop one thing, but that's still not going to stop them from being an asshole and talking too loud.
Well, that's when we have to act on our own.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, there used to be ushers that would come through there frequently or would just be there the entire time years ago. Like, what the fuck?
Like,
bring that back.
Yeah, they'd actually have a light. They'd say, hey, keep it down.
But you never want – they do their walk so they can go take their smoke break.
Because most of them now are just kids between the ages probably like 17 and 23. So they're just like – they're there. It's like, all right, yeah, this sucks. I could be like getting a blowjob right now, but I'm working today.
Yeah, little paycheck for them.
Yeah. So they don't give a shit. They need to put people in there that actually fucking care about – people actually going and having a good experience and not having to worry about, well, is this asshole going to talk? Is he going to kind of ruin the film? I'm going to tell him, shut the fuck up.
You know, that's why, unfortunately, when I go to the movies now, I go to the first early showing like of the day, because most people are at work or at school. And
well,
we thought we'd
be smart in doing that too. Unfortunately, me and Nathan.
Yeah. And even though it was on a Saturday at like 12:30, we thought we'd be all right, but no.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. I even avoid weekends, and especially when it's 12:30, because I know everybody's out and hot, you know, ready to fucking go. I go on Friday, and I went Friday at 10:30 when I went to see Halloween, and luckily got away with not having any issues. So wait a second.
Yeah. Okay, I'm reading it now.
Okay. Cause I'll read it. He's posted. So I'll read it. And this is what he said. He says, I cheered when the opening theme started. I cheered when Michael Myers had his first kill, and people didn't like that. I think one of them has seen me emptying my flask into my Coke. He says, in the lobby before the show. And trust me, I don't think he's done. That's all he's typed, but there was more. I know I think he calls somebody. He said, all right, motherfucker. He called somebody something. I swear that's what Eric Amon said. And they're like, okay, three people.
Well, see, when I'm thinking of him saying he cheered during the opening theme and cheered when there was a kill, like, to me, there's a difference in, like, kind of having that fan appreciation and sort of, like, cheering for it. And then sitting to my right or my left and kind of dissecting what just happened and talking loudly to your friend. If you're just like, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that at all. To me, that's someone that's there, that wants to be there. That
and who doesn't do that
it.
A lot?
Yes.
Sometimes in movies, you are clapping when there's a good part, but he wasn't sitting there talking the whole time. He just did that, but three people had an issue with him, and then he got kicked out. But I think he said that he was able to still get tickets, like, to go to another showing at another time. So he at least didn't just say, okay, you're fucking out of here, you know, get nothing in return. But yeah, he's cheering at a party like to throw that. But yeah, he cussed somebody out. He called somebody a motherfucker. And
I mean, whatever. I mean, I've seen when we went and saw Expendables and shit was going down. Tyler was like, yeah, and he almost like exploded out of the seat because,
Nathan had to embellish. But, oh man, I'm so embarrassed sitting next to this guy when he cheered when Arnold showed up on the screen for the first time in years.
Yeah, he's sitting there door. Kind of like at the end of an Ultimate Warrior promo. He's like,
real quick, is it just me or is Tyler getting darker? I can't really see him. Is he getting dark?
It's probably just because it's not bright outside. It's probably just because it's cloudy outside. It's probably
I just want to make sure. I thought
I can turn the light on.
All right, I just want to make sure. I was like, damn it! I want to make sure. I was like, is something fucking going out on this computer? There we go. And God said, "Let there be light." Yeah, but and as you see, Eric Amon did say that. Yeah, the manager gave him some free tickets, so he got tickets to go see it again. And my nephew. He'll be in town this week, and he was like, Uncle Joe, he said, I've seen Halloween. I love it, and I know you've seen it, and he said, you liked it. He said, we got to go see that again. Let's go this Tuesday. I was like, all right, so I'm going to go back and see Halloween this Tuesday again.
Hell yeah. I'll wait until it comes out on Blu-ray, and that's when I'll give it a rewatch. Cause the movie theater experience, like, I hate having to tell people to shut up. Like, it sucks. I don't want to go there and do that, but you have to. And it was sad that, like, not only did Tyler have to do that, but I had to do it on either side of us. It's like, come on. Like,
and it takes you out of it. That's what I hate is when an incident like that happens, you're out of the moment and the experience. Like,
it does. It just sucks you out. I'm just like, I'm too busy concentrating on listening to every little thing that you're doing now. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're pissed about what you might have missed. You're pissed at these people. They're going to talk again. And it does. It kind of just sucks out the experience.
Well, because of them, I missed the part where the little boy gets out of the truck to look for his dad when all the inmates are out in the road. Yeah, I missed that part. So I texted Tyler. I was like, what happened to that kid? Because I didn't remember. I may have been looking at the screen, but I was too busy, like, fuming and getting ready to say something to those guys that I just, like, forgot what even happened.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, what do you think? Well, I think we about wrapped this episode up. I don't know if you have any closing thoughts, but it was fun ranting on two movies you don't hear much about. One, you definitely don't, and the one you kind of don't, but you should be in Pumpkinhead, but still love my Rawhead Rex, damn it.
I'll recommend Rawhead Rex, but definitely recommend Pumpkinhead to you guys. If you've not watched that, please check it out. I'm sure we've spoiled it for you, but that doesn't take away from all the cool visuals that you will be privy to. Shit, man. Yeah, Pumpkinhead is... Like I said before, a film that I think I've kind of gotten in the habit of watching every September, October, because it to me, that's also a movie that I look at and I'm just like, autumn, Halloween time.
Yeah.
I mean, you can watch it whenever, and I've done that before. I'm just saying that it's one of those films to me. It's just like, you know, the eerie pumpkin patch and how, like, weird it is. It just all of it. All of it.
Sci-fi or AMC. I'm surprised they hadn't done a marathon of Pumpkinhead because they've done.
They got to make sure that they play Walking Dead for one, you know, a full straight week like they always.
Oh, they did, but they at least, thank goodness, they gave all the Friday 13ths and Halloween's. We got to see all those. They haven't did Elm Street yet though either, and I thought they usually do Elm Street.
I think Sci-Fi does Elm Street. I think
do they?
They tend to play Nightmare on Elm Street more than all the other.
And that's why I thought maybe Sci-Fi would do possibly Pumpkinhead, because I think they were the station that debuted the horrible part 3 and 4, I thought. Remember, it was on Sci-Fi before you could even rent it. And then 2 weeks later, it was for rent. I was like, how is that possible? Sometimes Sci-Fi will show movies before it's even available to rent the thing. So I was like, yeah, I don't need to rent Pumpkinhead now because I've seen these abominations on Sci-Fi. I was like, oh, there goes part 3 and 4.
Pumpkinhead 2 is okay. I don't mind it that much. It doesn't. I mean, it's not, obviously, it's never going to touch the original, but to me, it's.
That's like 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But the others just, it just wasn't my thing.
Yeah. Especially, like you said, when you start using the computer and you have to CG it and you don't want to put the effort into it like they did, and actually think about how will we construct this scene with the animatronics, our puppet work, whatever. Yeah. You know, we have to film it from here. It's like, no, throw it on the computer. It'll look like shit.
Oh, it. But out of a 5-star system for Pumpkinhead, I do give it a 5.
Hands down, 5.
Yeah, it's a Halloween staple for me. So, yes, 6 stars out of 5. It broke the scale.
You know, and I don't do that because I know some people are like, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you rate? Like, oh, give it an 11 plus, man. Like,
well, you know, everyone likes to ignore your rules and regulations when you go on social media and say, you can only pick one here, people. Well, I like this one and this one. I couldn't decide.
Right. It drives me nuts. It's like, no, I just said to 10. I can understand this moronic enthusiasm where you think it's 11 plus. Oh, it's 100. It's like, no, just 1 and to 10. That's when
Joe starts holding on to his head that he does. You know, he pulls his Rocky Dennis just...
Hey, Tyler, you're gonna like this. Eric Amon says he's never seen Rawhead Rex, but he's gonna watch it now. So.
You're gonna love it, Eric, you're gonna love it.
Oh, yeah, it'll just make you all nice and hard watching it, man. It'll be high noon right now,
Eric Amon. If all I had was a clock in my pants, it'd be high noon right now. Like, well, you need to keep that time to yourself, Reverend. But yeah, I still like some Rawhead Rex, Eric. I like it, Nathan.
Kind of play with a box of foam peanuts for an hour and 25 minutes or something?
Stop it. Wrap us up, Nathan.
I was going to say this. I like the fact, too. I think we should do this going forward with any of the movies that we discuss at the
pick
end.
Pick a really, 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 really bad one and then a really, 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 really good one.
No. I was going to say, let's start using the star rating, because I think it'll be interesting, because even if it's a movie that we all three are just like, yes, we all like it, but we might like give it a different rating overall. Sure. I think that would be a good way to kind of judge it for everyone else, and they can start to form more of our take.
All right, well, let me throw this out Once Bitten and Monster Squad, what do you guys give that?
Once,
I love them both. I give them both 5 stars. I love them.
All right. Before I give mine, Tyler, let's hear your star rating.
Yeah, I'd give them both. They're both blasts to watch. I give them 5 out of 5.
Okay. See, this is where this is interesting. Once Bitten for me, I would probably give 3.5 or 4. Mm-hmm. And Monster Squad, I would say 4.5 or 5. Are we going to use, let's do it this way. Do you guys want to do 0.5s with that? Because I feel like that kind of does sort of separate a little bit instead of just being like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 star or whatever.
Yeah, because they do actually have 3.5 star ratings.
Well, 3 sounds more prominent. 3, 4, and 5. 2 sounds like eh, and of course 1 is a dud.
But I think having that 0.5, because I give Rawhead Rex a 2.5.
Sure. Yeah, that's the same way I gave the new Halloween movie, man. That's imbalanced, man.
Yeah. Well, you can do the halves.
But you know what? Michael Myers didn't piss on a priest, so.
But you were just as upset about the part that bothered me, too. Everybody was. Like, I talked to Jordan about that, too. Nobody can say they liked that scene of the professor.
Yeah, that twist just kind of I've seen that too. Even when Red Letter Media did their half in the bag of it, pretty much what we said on this podcast, they basically said the same thing. I was like, that's cool.
And just to let you know, my newspaper, the local newspaper, it's been here for years. They've always done a 5-star system as well, and they do actually do 3.5, 4, 4.5. So yeah, we can keep halves. But we won't do what Eric said. What about a 4.785? 2.5. No, won't do that. We ain't gonna do that. That's the thing I used to hate. I don't know if it was Ultra Game Players? There was one magazine that
was extended. Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was like
98%, 92%. Yeah. I was like, oh, God, this isn't fucking great.
Well, and they show you how they did it, too, because it broke it down in each little category. It's like, graphics get a 9, sound gets a 7. We're going to add all these together and average it out. And I'm like, man, fuck that. Like,
yeah, those ones drove me nuts.
Trying to sound like they're a lot more pretentious than they really should be.
Yeah, you
know, it's basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't you wrap us up, Nathan? Tell everybody what to do so we can get people subscribing here, liking the chair, and ringing that bell and all that shit. You go ahead and tell
them. Well, you're already going into it and telling them that. But if you guys are new to the channel, hit subscribe, ring the bell so you get notified when we go live or a new video is posted. Check the links down below, beyondretropodcast.com. It'll take you to Pop Culture Network's page for Beyond Retro. Check out the Podbean links. And if you want to find us on I cannot talk today.
Awtunes.
If you want
to find the proper one, that's the proper Awtunes. That's what I do.
So Nathan with his dainty teacup there.
Yeah.
Just in his time.
If you want to find us on iTunes, keyword Pop Culture Network. There you'll find Beyond Retro Capes and Commentaries, which is a show that Tyler and I do every Saturday most of the time that we discuss all the 80s and 90s cartoons. We do a commentary for each episode that we choose. And some side rants ensue. And Bands of Power, the dedicated He-Man and the Master Universe podcast hosted by Joe Amato and Tyler Baker.
Tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time, right here on YouTube.
Yep.
Hey, did I mention I've had this shirt for 15 years? I didn't realize. Like, I love this damn shirt. But yeah, I've had this since 2003.
Can you kind of say? I can only see. I mean, obviously it's Jason, but like.
Yeah, it's, you know, based off of part 7. You remember that
scene. Yeah, so. That's badass. Where'd you get that at?
I got it at Hot Topic. It was 15 years ago.
Back when it was actually good. Right.
Yeah, back when Hot Topic. Yeah, fucking was nice. So, yeah, had that long. So, there you go. All right.
I don't know what we're going to do next week. I've already messaged these guys a couple days ago, and they looked at it, and they were just like, man, okay. So, I guess we'll leave next week a mystery unless anyone wants to throw anything out right now.
Yeah, we'll do a mystery. What the hell?
Okay. We'll leave it up to everybody. Well, hope you all enjoyed, and we will see you guys next time. Tyler he looks exhausted and almost borderline depressed now because we talked about Rawhead Rex for
I think it's probably just my look or something. Nah, it's not the case. I'm just kind of, you know.
He's reflecting.
I'm just kind of in, like, you know, what's the lax mode, I guess. It's just, I'm just kind of just, you know,
he's chill. Free. He's chill. Yeah.
There you go.
Call him Ice.
And Ice. I'm starting to think Eric Amon might be a troublemaker. He said he was once banned from Hot Topic, so damn it, he might be a troublemaker. Damn, he's getting thrown out of theaters and all sorts of shit. Eric, man, what are you doing, man? Oh, God. See you guys next week.
See you guys.